This is the Closet Geek, episode 89 for June 24, 2015.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek. All things that geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek in Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own.
Hey guys, welcome to the Closet Geek, where geeks come out, the podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the four horsemen of geek, to bring you the best and latest geeky news. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and with me, I just have two of my brothers. Tonight, I have John and Michael.
Hey! I'm back after a week, and now Ryan's gone. What's up?
I know.
And now Ryan's gone. It's like
we thought we were all going to be
like
together.
Busy and we have lives.
I know, weird.
And stuff.
What's up?
What?
Weird.
I know we're not allowed to have lives.
Not allowed.
The only thing that exists is the podcast.
But hey, speaking of podcast, 2 whole years.
Woo!
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Happy. Happy.
You know, I was thinking about it, and
Woo!
This is episode 89.
Yeah.
89.
So, when you think about it, we've done 89 episodes in a possible 104 weeks.
Correct.
So, we've
yes.
missed 15 weeks due to vacations, holidays, and so forth. And I'm thinking to myself, that's actually pretty decent. That's actually better than a television show in the
that's
same
right.
period of time.
Be satisfied. So, yeah. Awesome.
So
who
much
thought we would be...
No,
who thought we'd be doing this for 2 whole years
right?
already?
Now we need to make the third year just like
Don't worry, my wife didn't think it'd last that long either.
You know,
especially when I just one day I was like, "Honey, I'm going to start a podcast." She's like, "Yeah,
she's like,
whatever.
Yeah,
that'll last 1 or 2 episodes."
Have
fun.
I have come to just really enjoy this time.
Oh yeah,
me too.
I'm all excited for today. One, it's our second year anniversary. Two, it's been two Ooh. Weeks.
You
two
get to
weeks.
Finally talk.
I'm like, I haven't been able to download
talk.
To anybody.
That's right. So yeah, well let's get to the first segment of the show. Oh, play.
Yes, this week in geek.
Did we mention that we've been doing
button.
This for 2 years?
And I still can't get the play button right. This is professional
That's
podcasting right,
yeah,
right
this
here.
Is, this is professional
quality.
Amateur right here. Professional.
That's right. But this is This Week in Geek segment where we talk about things we did geeky throughout the week, things we love, and things we can recommend to you. And Mike just took a big bite full of food, so we'll go to John
right.
first.
Burrito.
He's got a lot more to talk about than I do anyway.
Yeah, me too.
So, you know, been typical board gaming. We actually had a couple of rounds of pandemic.
Nice.
Yeah, I
like
yeah,
that one.
My wife doesn't really like that game as much because she's like, the game is made to beat you. It's no fun because you can't win.
Well, I have yet to beat Forbidden Desert.
Yeah,
that game kicks my
That's
booty
right.
every single time.
So we always get so close to winning, and then we just like run out of time. We're like, oh. So that's always been fun. And then I actually played a little bit of Magic,
nice.
And because my 16-year-old daughter is really into it.
Really into
yeah, she
it.
Really is, and so
awesome.
She like created a couple decks, and she's like, "Dad, I want to test these out, play them with me." So I helped her test her decks. And
how could I say no?
I beat her down.
Yeah, put her in her place.
Now she needs to go to a draw, like a tournament.
Yeah, so
do a booster draft.
Yeah,
or
like a draft or something.
And I actually had. A really strange thing. I actually sat down and played some video games.
What?
I know. Weird, right? So I just kind of sat down and I'm like, you know what?
And not only
not
games,
really...
but I see like 3 games on
yeah,
your list.
Yeah, yeah. So I launched Destiny, played a little bit of Destiny.
Did you level up?
Yes, I'm level 9 now.
I was going to say, are you level 9 now? That's awesome.
I'm still level 12.
I'm level 9. I'm like, you know, doing the missions on the moon. And I know the people like hear that I'm only level 9 and they just laugh because...
And they just
shake
their head.
Most people
their head in disgust. Blah.
And I mean...
You call yourself a geek.
And I've actually been playing... I actually purchased the game on launch day.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, everybody else that has been playing that long has, like, a level 34 character, you know? And I have a level 9.
Sarcastic clapping.
So, yeah. So, super uber on that. But then I also launched and played a fun game. It's called Skulls of the Shogun.
Yeah, I know of the game, but I've never played
it. And it's a turn-based strategy game, but it's
wrong there.
It's done in a very, you know, it's done in the it's got Japanese theme to it, but it's a very cartoony.
It's very chippy.
And it takes place in like the land of the dead, where like at the very beginning of the game, like this shogun dies and he's like comes, you know, he wakes up and he's in the land of the dead and he's like, what? And so he's like so mad that he has to wait in line to get through to his final resting place. And he's like, I'm not going to wait in line. And so then like he recruits some guys to help him and they like start fighting. And so it's kind of funny.
Nice.
But I played that a little bit. And then I put in the show notes that just to remind myself that Guild Wars 2, that I usually play pretty regularly, it had a pretty neat update this week where their main city, Lion's Arch, got completely redone and completely like rebuilt. It's all new, and the reason why this is because during one of the previous campaign storylines in the game, the Lion's Arch got completely destroyed by the main villain, and so over time it's like slowly been rebuilt, and you could go to the city. There wasn't really anything there because it was just being rebuilt, but now they've launched the patch that has fully rebuilt this city, and so it's really neat. And that's one of the things that I really like about Guild Wars 2, and that it truly is persistent, where things that happen in the game, you know, things that happen in the world truly do affect the game, you know. And it's not
kind of... It kind of reminds me of the new game that that was on Kickstarter called Crowfall.
Oh yeah, right.
Where everything is destructible.
Right.
And so like you could go log in and then log in like 2 weeks later and everything where you were is like destroyed.
Right.
And you have to go find somewhere else to be.
Yeah, so that's one thing that I like about Guild Wars 2 is that they have that continuity, that they're like, okay, well, in this storyline, the city got destroyed, so the city's destroyed. You can't just reload and come back and it's
magically
all
here.
Right. So that was pretty cool. And that happened this week. But other than that, I'm still reading Eldest in the Inheritance saga.
Wow. I don't think you've ever taken that long on a book.
Yeah, well,
I was thinking of that. I'm like, why aren't you on to book 5 by now?
Well, it's because I keep getting distracted by other things that I should be doing, and so then I
more important
right,
things.
And so and then what happens is that I just check out the ebook from the library. Well, then my checkout time expires. And then I have to like go and recheck it out again. But then
you're on a waiting
then
list.
Then I'm on a waiting list, so I have to wait. And so then I'm like trying to read something else in the meantime. And so that's why it's taking
gotcha.
So long. But that's about
awesome.
It.
Awesome. How about you, Barry?
Well, Well, I'll start with I did, you know, obviously did some sweet kicks with bricks this week.
Yeah, I saw that episode.
Did a game called Push It. Very, very simple game is where you have a puck in the middle of, and you have to play it on a table, any table. You put something in the middle, and everybody has two little round wooden discs, and you put it on the edge of the table, and then you can either flick it or hit it. You try to get it close, be the closest person to the centerpiece. And it's
like
just
paper football with shuffleboard.
It's like
curling.
Or I was gonna say it's like bocce.
Yeah.
Sure.
So
yeah, same idea. Get closest to whatever object.
Yeah, but the way they did it though, it was just everything looks very clean cut, and it's just awesome. And it's meant to be simple. It's meant to be portable,
right,
to take with you. Like the guy Leeson, the guy I interviewed, talked about how he's like, it kind of developed, and you know, we would take it to pubs, and that's where we would play. It was a good pub game.
Like a pub game, yeah.
And so it was pretty cool. And then I interviewed a company called Pixelated Milk, and they're really cool name. I like it. From Poland, and these guys, it's just a group of friends that got together and decided they wanted to make their own role-playing game with, you know, inspiration from JRPGs, you know, Japanese role-playing games.
Oh, okay.
But it's made by the Polish. and it was really cool because he said, think of it as a cross between Disgaea and Persona.
Ooh.
Okay.
I like Persona.
And so, yeah.
This guy is okay,
and so,
too.
It looks really good, and they were fully funded. So was Push It, both fully funded. But their Kickstarter campaigns are still going, so you can go back that. And both of them look really great. So I had fun interviewing those guys.
Yeah.
And Father's Day was on Sunday.
Yeah.
So happy Father's Day to all those fellow geeky fathers out there. But my kids bought me DuckTales Remastered for the PlayStation 3.
That seems appropriate.
And it was super awesome because I loved that game on the original NES, and then they knew I had mentioned it. And when my wife took them shopping, they saw that, and they're like, DuckTales, let's get that for Dad. And so I actually busted it out before the show tonight, and the kids were all sitting around me, and we were just having fun. I was having fun play, and the kids were all getting into it, and now, you know, they want to play it,
of course.
And it was super fun. You know, it's a great platformer,
yeah,
very clean, and it's just lots of fun.
That's cool.
So
nice.
Played that. And then I did get, I want to say a half dozen or more rounds into Heroes of the Storm.
Cool.
Have lots of fun playing with friends, actually, you know, people that I knew.
Right.
And you know, just trying to do my quests and have fun killing people. But like one of my friends that I'm grouped up with this last couple times, he is bad luck, I've determined. Because whenever I'm grouped up with him, we never win.
Whoa.
And then I played the next day by myself, like during lunch, just kind of squeezed a match in there real fast. And I rocked it. And we won. And I was just like eating everyone alive. And then I was just like, what is going on? I'm like, he's bad luck.
Is he
That's
a coworker? Does he know that he's bad luck now?
No, but he... he's a faithful listener of the show, so he knows who I'm talking about.
Whoa! Snub.
That's okay. We'll still play because it's lots of fun. But just know, you're bad luck.
Calling him out.
I'll play with you if we win, elitist.
No, I'll still play with him. I'm a good sport loser.
That's funny.
So, no, Heroes is still... my go-to game if I want to play a game, but I keep want to play in it, but there's other games that I have. Like, I want to go back and play some Destiny, and then I have I now have Adventures of Pip on the computer, and I want to play that, and I still haven't beaten Banner Saga yet, and
yeah.
So lots of things in my so, but I always still just gravitate towards Heroes because it's just so much fun.
Right, right. There you go. Nice.
But yeah, that's me.
Cool. Woo! Bam, bam.
All right, Mike.
Oh, I'm give ready. It to us. I'm ready to
Two
download
weeks worth of geek.
So gosh, so I missed a week, and then we took a week off to basically prepare for tonight's episode for E3 for our second year anniversary. So.
Yeah,
Last time we heard, SLC Anime was reviewing Tokyo Ghoul for May. Oh my gosh, for May's series, and it got a 7.5 overall. It actually turned out to be a really good show. The second season really helped solidify the series, so that was really nice. The first season ended with enough draw that you really wanted to go on to the next episode. It was one of those shows that it keeps you on the edge at the end of every episode, so you feel compelled to watch the next episode.
Yeah.
Where some episodes always seem to be very standalone. So this series definitely pulled you along as the battles were happening, as the character interaction was occurring. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. The show that we are reviewing for June is called Princess Jellyfish. And it's a
silly name.
Yeah, it is a silly name, but it falls into the genre of slice of life, romance, maybe. You know, it's a little bit of romance, but mostly slice of life. And generally what it is it follows a dormitory of women who are all otakus. So they're all kind of they're all hardcore geeks in a specific genre of their liking. But in Japan, when you say otaku, it also refers to somebody who's sometimes referred to as a neet, which is somebody who's kind of removed themselves from society because they get so hyper-focused on their thing that they forget to learn how to socialize. And so it follows this group of girls, and all of a sudden here comes, of course, somebody who's not part of the group, and all these women are, you know, like anti-men, anti-social, you know, they do their thing, and they befriend this new girl, which they call them stylish because they wear normal everyday clothing and so forth, only to find out that this girl is not really a girl, but is also a neat cross-dressing man. And so it's so hilarious. But you find out that, you know, he's actually a really, really good guy and befriends this girl who her thing is jellyfishes. And he's really into fashion. And so they, by the end of the show, they combine their powers. So she starts designing dresses based off of jellyfish. And so it just kind of is about...
I will be the jellyfish.
Yeah.
And you will be the dress.
But I really liked it. It was a very, you know, innocent, you know, kind of everyday life scenario where you see these people pulled out of their cocoon and they start experiencing the world a little differently than they're used to. And it's really nice to see the growth of the character. So I'll enjoy it and I'll give it a good rating. So far, I'm going to give it a 7 because I liked it. It was only 11 episodes. But then it was only 11 episodes, so I had time to jump into another show called Arpeggio of Blue Steel, which was another 12-episode series. So I enjoyed that as well. And then I just started a 50-some-odd-episode series called Nana, which follows two female characters, both named Nana. And it's also a slice of life. Kind of just an everyday, like, soap opera show. So very cool. That's my anime out of the way. And then for something that I decided to get back into is LARPing.
Yeah!
Woo!
So I haven't really LARPed for a decade, like, ever since my son was
10
born.
10 years.
So I decided to...
The last time you LARPed was...
Yeah, I decided to grab Lance, and we are a pair, and we go, and right now we're playing the NPCs, so we play all the monsters and everything to kind of get back into the system. What's really cool is I went back to the same group that I left a decade ago. So there's still...
It's cool that it's still around.
Yeah, so they started in 98, and it's now 2015, and they're still active and growing and really well organized and ran like a business. So it has a much better feel. But they allowed me to grandfather my old character from 04. Even though they didn't have records, I basically was like, well, I was able to do this. And they're like, well, the rule system has slightly changed, but here you go. And I was like, cool. I can play my old character and not feel like have to start all over again. Now, my character is obviously not the most powerful, and I'm not the weakest, but I'll be a nice middleman in the power scheme of everything. So it's going to be great. And Lance is going to create a new character to hang out with me when we PC together, and it'll be fun. And we're going to, it allows us to do monthly campouts as father and son. So we get to go camping. So it'll be really, kind of just, once a week we go out and hike and run around and swing swords at each other.
Padded swords.
So this isn't my historical European martial arts. This isn't the martial arts. This is boffer weapons. So it's been really exciting to get back in. Now I just need to find funds to get the gear I would like to get in order to play my PC in proper gear again. Since it's been a decade, all my stuff that I had from a decade ago is either outdated or gone.
Plus, it doesn't fit.
No, it does fit. Thank goodness. So that's cool. But yeah, so Mythic Realms, you can find them at mythicrealms.com. You can also find them on Facebook. And they're a Salt Lake City-based live-action role-playing group that's been around since 1998. So, of course...
Yeah, I was a part of it,
Yeah, you LARPed with me for a little bit, and even Ryan did a weekend.
That's right.
So,
and he stepped on a log.
He jumped
himself
into the river and had a stick jam into his foot.
That was good time.
Emergency medical run on the weekend. So, but
sweet. That's super exciting. I wish I could be there. I would totally get back into
and
that.
And what's nice is they kind of have like their Wednesday nights. It's Wednesday night, so then they occasionally have a Saturday once in a while or a camp out once in a while. So,
yeah.
So as everyone knows, I'm a Final Fantasy guy, and so I'm going to show you guys because you can see me. This is the This is the PS4 box edition.
Wow.
He's showing us his spiffy box of heaven.
Yeah, the collector's edition.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it comes
cool
with all those
statue.
Things. Yeah, it comes with the little dragon statue. So I'll show you that real fast. So.
Ooh. Oh, he broke it.
I didn't break it, but I dropped it on my mic. There you go, everybody. Experience the dragon.
Nice.
Dragon attack. Dragon attack. And so Heaven's Ward 3.0 came out for Final Fantasy. And as I was a collector's edition owner, along with my wife, we started playing on the 19th, even though it didn't come out until the 23rd. So we've been able to just jump in and go hardcore. And I'm already level 53. And there's guys in my guild who are already level 60. I'm like, you guys, don't you have lives? And some of them are like,
no,
it's summer and I'm off of school. I have a part-time job, and
my
so this is what I do. And I'm like,
I have no responsibility.
I have you know, it's like, then I think to myself, well, hold on. There's only a few of us who are over 35, and I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So I'm one of the old guys. I'm like, yeah. I have the responsibilities that they don't. I can understand that. So it's so cool. But but we've really enjoyed it. DirectX 11 support for Final Fantasy now.
Cool.
Before it was 9C, and now it's DirectX 11.
Oh.
But it's so pretty.
Yeah, right.
And the flying mounts, I finally unlocked flying for one area.
Cool.
And it's so pretty just to kind of be like way up in the sky, and you could really fly super high. I mean, they allow you to fly to usually the highest point that the landscape can be, and a little bit more. And so the giant mountains in the back, in the far ground, you know, in the background are going to be, you're just going to be just above them. And then it creates this almost like I'm going to use an anime reference, like a Sword Art Online impact wall, you know, where it gives that hex kind of shimmer, like the hexagonal shimmer that you've
like
hit a barrier.
Hit the barrier, yeah.
Yeah, when you hit a barrier or some sort of protective barrier, like a spell, it's that way where you fly and you just kind of hit this barrier and stop.
That's cool.
You know, and then you keep flying. But what's awesome is your flying mounts. Yeah, you know, I'm sure this is familiar with others who have flying mounts, but you can fly straight down into the ground and just start running on the mount. There's no transition.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
sure.
You know, straight to ground to run, right back up to flying. So there's no transition or anything. So yeah, overall Final Fantasy 3.0 Heaven's Ward, definitely enjoying it. You guys will hear my updates as we go along.
Excellent.
Cool. Well, let's jump into the meat.
Yes.
The meat of the show.
Mm.
We are going to talk E3. So,
yes, let's talk some E. Or
that's right.
E.
So,
because that's what all the fanboys do when they go to the shows.
That's right.
E-E-E.
So, it's the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Yes.
2015 in Los Angeles. It's the yearly event where all of the
most
developers and publishers get to
reveal
what's coming out in the next few years in order to, you know, gain the essentially it's really to gain
to boost their stock.
Well, right, exactly. to gain money from investors to say, "Hey, look what's coming out. This is what we're going to be doing in the near future. You want to, you know, invest with us or whatever."
Yeah.
But it gives us it on the other side of that coin. It gives us as the consumers the opportunity to kind of catch a glimpse of the future.
The future.
Of, you know, what's coming as far as the electronic entertainment is concerned.
And it makes us super excited.
That's right. It's like Christmas.
That's right. So we'll go by conference.
Yeah.
And we'll do that. So we'll start with Bethesda.
Yeah. So Bethesda, they actually had their own press conference this year,
which was new for them.
They haven't ever done a press conference before, and they
it's
did
about
a pretty
time.
Good job.
They deserved it.
They did a pretty good
well,
job.
They did a good job, but it's you know that's they have enough strong titles.
Right.
That they can have their own conference.
And that's, I think that's why they decided to do that. So during
their
conference, they announced that they're working on a new Doom title.
Doom.
They also announced the sequel to Dishonored, Dishonored 2, which is kind of their Dishonored. For those that may not be familiar, it's kind of a stealth action.
It's Thief.
Yeah, it's kind of like Thief, like steampunk.
It's a steampunk Thief.
Yeah, steampunk, but he's got, you know, the character has like powers and abilities that you don't get when you play the Thief game.
Yeah.
So it was a really popular title for them, so they decided to go ahead and develop a sequel for that. You know, they had a couple smaller titles, nothing that anybody's really going to remember.
Yeah.
But
But their biggest thing, of course, was Fallout 4.
Fallout 4.
Oh,
yes.
Oh.
It's a game that a lot of people have been waiting for a long time.
For a long time.
I think Fallout 3 came out in 2009.
Yeah, and then
it's been like 5 years,
I think Vegas came out in 11, and then they've just been making mods for Vegas.
Yeah, right. So they've had like DLC and stuff, but a lot of people have been waiting for this game for a long time. So it's pretty exciting to see that. And, it's definitely a Fallout game.
I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but I know tons of people that just go gaga crazy
all
over this.
All I have to say is I cannot collect enough battle caps fast enough to play this game.
Speaking of that, did you see the article about
somebody tried to buy it with
the guy
bottle caps?
Sent bottle caps that he had been collecting for 7 years of college, because
right.
He went to like med school and stuff like that, and he sent the whole box to Bethesda Studio
to try to buy
and said,
Fallout 4
because that's the currency for Fallout.
Did you hear that they followed through with his request?
Of course they did.
They said, so awesome that you did this. Yeah. we would be happy to get you in on the beta when it's available.
If they wouldn't have done anything,
that would have been bad PR. Yeah. It's so cool that, you know, those sort of things
clever.
Do happen.
So Fallout 4 is taking place in Boston.
Boston.
Whereas Fallout 3 took place in Washington, D.C., and of course, New Vegas took place in Vegas. But it's just the post-apocalyptic.
Are they all going to have their Boston accents?
Probably,
Boston.
Or they'll try to anyway. But,
hey, they can get good voice actors.
Yeah, so you know, it's a post-apocalyptic action RPG, third person / first person.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be the next step of Fallout 3.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
E3. I mean, EA. Sorry.
Yeah, EA.
There's lots of
they always, you know.
Electronic
now,
Arts. It's in the game.
They pretty much are a staple nowadays where they always expect to have an EA press conference.
Well, they have just tons
of
games.
Yeah, there's so much that EA's doing.
They're giant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're one of the 800-pound gorillas out there.
Yeah. Yep.
So they opened up their...
I was going to say, they opened up their show with a game that I didn't think they had the guts to make, but decided to make it anyway. Another Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Another Mass Effect.
So I was really
just a
surprised.
Teaser. They announced that they're working on it. They didn't say anything more about it at all. For the rest of the conference, they didn't talk about it really. They just said, hey, we're working on it.
It's because of that.
Right. And so it takes place in a completely different galaxy. It's got completely different characters. So
well,
you have to, after
the last storyline.
Right. So obviously it's not going to be Shepard, but it is going to take place, you know, within that universe. So, you know, there may be some commonalities between the original trilogy and this new one. It's called Mass Effect Andromeda.
Andromeda.
And so it's so I am assuming because it takes place in the
Andromeda
galaxy.
Exactly.
Are they going to run into Kevin Sorbo?
Let's hope not.
Ba-dum-bum.
So so that was kind of how they kicked things off.
Just list them and then talk about the ones we want to talk about?
Yeah, because some of these I don't even care about.
Yeah. I mean, they talked about their next Need for Speed game. Meh.
Yeah.
Now, they talked about...
I'm not a racing
They talked about
guy.
The next expansion for the Star Wars The Old Republic,
which
is their MMO. And, the trailer.
The trailer,
epic.
Best trailer of E3 by far.
Blur always does an amazing job with their stuff.
It was so good. I'm like, I wanted more of that trailer.
Right.
That's what I wanted.
So, they
it
always do.
Super cool.
Yeah, Blur always does amazing cinematics, and so it was really cool to see that.
It was deep and, like, dark.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch the full trailer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, because the one that they showed, there's like a shorter one, but then you can watch like the full expanded trailer.
Yeah, I watched the like the 6 minute long or whatever.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
really
super
good.
Super good.
So after that, they unveiled a new game, a new IP called Unravel, which I think looks really good. It's basically about this little yarn dude, and it's kind of like a puzzle platformer where you have to figure out how to get, you know, through the level.
Little Big Planet with the yarn guy.
Kind of. Yeah, so I mean it's that puzzle platformer type game, but
which is popular. People love those type games.
But oh my gosh, just the level of graphic detail in that game. Well, I mean just in the yarn and just in the you know the environments that the character was going through. It was just really well done. So that was actually one of the games that really caught my attention.
Perked your interest
in
a lot.
E3. So that
and you have Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare 2 for those people that like that. Right. And then you have
all their sports games.
Sports.
All their mobile games.
One
of the mobile games that they just kind of briefly mentioned, but there is a new mobile game based in the Star Wars universe that is going to be one of the first video games in the new canon of the Star Wars universe. And it takes place after Return of the Jedi, but before The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
And so there's going to be new characters and new storylines, which is all going to be considered
cool
canon, because we know that they've said that everything that comes out from this point is considered canon.
Right. So that
it's
means
all
this,
canon.
The Old Republic stuff is going to be canon.
The Old Republic
stuff.
The
Battlefront stuff is going to be canon. Even the mobile games.
Right.
I don't know how that'll work, but they'll throw it in there somewhere.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
So they really focused on their Minions, the Despicable Me Minions game. They really focused on that quite a bit.
People love Minions.
Yeah, it's kind of like a city builder type game, but anyway. So they did one of the games that they did announce that I was actually excited about was the sequel to Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, Catalyst.
So that was really exciting because I really enjoyed the original game.
Well, it was.
Do not
it
play this
really
game
awesome.
If you're prone to motion sickness.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's a first-person parkour game. Essentially, is what it is. You know.
Yeah.
Well, you can go third person, but you know it's very visually.
Can you? I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, just like in the original game, you could.
Oh, I didn't know you could in the original game.
Oh.
I don't
That's
know.
How I had to play it. Or I'd be like, bleh.
Oh. Okay. So they announced that they're working on the sequel to that. So that's pretty cool. But their biggest game they left for last. And that was, of course, the Star Wars Battlefront.
Of course.
So they announced that. They showed some actual gameplay. It was pretty awesome. You know, the during the E3 conference, they were focusing on what they called the Walker Attack game mode, which is you've got that AT&T Walker. It's at the Battle of Hoth. And the Empire is trying to defend the Walker so that the Walker can get to the base. And then the Rebels are trying to do anything they can to stop the Walker from getting there. So it's 40 players, so you know, like 20 on 20 player. And
but it was very like you have your infantry, you had people flying the you know the TIE fighters and the other fighters and. People actually in the AT-AT
doing the
shooting AT-ST and everything.
Walkers that are going around and so I mean it's just like
it was intense
mass hysteria.
And then at the very end, let's just throw Darth Vader and Luke in there.
Shows up and then Luke shows up. Well, because they have hero characters in the game.
Yeah.
So you can get to the point where like. I'm sure, you know, there's certain things that has to be done in order to unlock the hero characters of the level. But I watched some gameplay of, like, Luke Skywalker. Oh, my gosh. The guy is so overpowered. It's Yeah. He just like mops up the entire battlefield. He's just going around just blasting people left and right, slicing them to bits, and it was pretty awesome.
And this is after Jedi, right?
Well, Battlefield
Battlefield is not canon.
Oh, yeah. The Battlefront?
Battlefront.
Oh, okay.
Battlefront takes place on episode 4, 5, and 6. And then supposedly there's something at the very end that will tie into episode 7.
Yeah, but they have said the Battlefront is not, like, canon as far as... And the reason why is because, you know, you can't have...
It's just multi-purpose.
Yeah, you can't have Return of the Jedi era Luke Skywalker on Hoth fighting Darth Vader during the Battle of... During the Battle of Hoth, because that's just not how it happened. But,
yeah,
you know, that's how they... That,
wasn't that Yavin? Four.
That was right? The Death Star. Death Star battle.
Ah, okay.
So,
see, I'm
anyway. So yeah, Star Wars Battlefront, totally awesome. Super excited about that game.
Super excited to play that game.
Yeah. All right. So the next conference was Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. You know, they've got a number of big games. They've got their yearly crankouts, you know, like Assassin's Creed. They talked about their new Assassin's Creed coming out, which is taking place.
Victorian London.
Yeah, Victorian London.
Yeah.
So.
And then you have the new Rainbow Six, the new Ghost Recon.
Yeah, Rainbow Six Siege, which is pretty.
I think the two games that really stood out the most, of course, you had. The Division,
which is one I'm really excited about.
It looks pretty good, and it looks pretty sweet.
Like, it's an MMORPG, is really what it is.
Yeah, pretty much what it is.
It's not a
shooter. They even have mobile connection with it, to where, like, if you could be on your iPad.
Oh, no, they announced that they're canceling the companion
they're
app.
They're canceling that part of it?
They announced, as part of their... E3 coverage, they announced that the companion app was because it was just too, unbalanced. It really unbalanced things. And so,
isn't the Division kind of like, oh gosh, just the other shooter. Oh my gosh, my brain just died, guys.
Okay,
Destiny. Apparently. Thank you. Gosh.
Oh, well,
so
it's
like Destiny. It's kind of like it's a first-person shooter, but it kind of has RPG aspects for character building.
It's third person.
Oh, it's third person. Oh, okay. It's Ubisoft. That makes sense.
Well, it's third person because you interact a lot more with the environment than you do with
Destiny. First-person shooter. Yeah, it's not a shooter. See, Destiny is a shooter, whereas The Division is an RPG.
Yeah, you have to, like, take cover,
it's not a shooter.
Be strategic.
It's more like XCOM?
It's more like World of Warcraft.
Really?
It's an RPG.
Oh, I haven't seen any of the gameplay then.
And so, and so that's what a lot of people have this misunderstanding of what The Division really is.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a shooter. No, it's not. And that's what one thing that they were really trying to do during E3 is show everybody this is an RPG.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there are, you know, shooter aspects to it, just like World of Warcraft has sword fighting aspects to it. But, you know, that's just one part of the game. So they were showing off, they actually showed off their PvP area during E3. And that was brutal. Did you watch the presentation on Division?
I didn't watch the PvP part.
Basically, the whole thing about their PvP area is it's like every man for himself. You can team up, but if you want to, you could shoot your teammates in the back. And that's basically what happened during this gameplay preview. Is like one of the characters in the team was like, bloop, and like you saw him like quit the party. And then, like, his teammates are like, what are you doing? The party chat cuts out because he leaves the party. And then he always just, like, and just, like, takes out the people that he was just teamed up with in order to get their loot. It was like, total backstab move. But apparently that's what this whole PvP area is
all
about.
That's what it's about.
So, you know, some people are really into that.
Trust no one.
I've never been a PvPer, so I'll probably, if I do play that game, I'll never go into those areas.
Yeah.
But the game PvP itself
is not the thing for me. I still have yet to even touch the PvP area for Final Fantasy.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, yeah. But I haven't even touched it.
You like questing.
Yeah, like
and
when
going
I when
on
I, when
raids.
I
quester, so.
Yeah, when I play Guild Wars 2, you know, or even when I used to play World of Warcraft, I rarely did PvP. I would on occasion because sometimes it's fun, but for some people, that's like all they do is PvP.
Yeah.
So then one of the other games that they announced that
which looks
really cool.
Really cool, but
really
I won't
brutal.
Be playing it because
yeah.
it looks really brutal.
Right. It's a game called For Honor.
Now this is a game that Mike can get behind because it was super cool because it's kind of like another MMORPG type game,
yeah,
but
well,
you get in there.
Like, yeah, it's more like a team versus team.
It does look really cool. And
it's cool because you can change your stances of how you sword fight, and you have to pay attention to how your opponent's stances are because that's how you attack them.
This is actually something that a lot of guys in the HEMA community have been following because it's one of the few games that specifically came to the HEMA community and said,
How do
sword fighting really work? How did it really look? What's the techniques and the skill that was needed? And they said, great, this is how it works. And so they did a lot of pre-study before this. And so when we saw the gameplay, we were all just, you know, high-fiving each other because,
I mean,
it's as accurate
really
as
cool.
it can be and still be a video game, you know?
Right,
so.
Right.
So it's still not 100%, but it's more than any other game I've seen, you know, except for that that other European game that made a whole game around the fact that you were a sword fighter. So I can't even remember the game.
Oh, yeah,
the game
I know what
name.
You're talking about. But,
looks very cool.
Just, yeah, it's very, very action-oriented, and it is broken down, it is like team versus team, you know, player versus player type. But you also have all of your little NPCs that are running around too. And so the game really is all about like a siege where one side is defending, the other side is attacking. They're like sieging this castle. And so you've got these masses of infantry running out and masses of infantry trying to come in. And so in one part of it felt very much like Dynasty Warriors where, you know, you just got these massive like armies and you're just like, you know, slicing up all of these little NPCs because you're one of the main heroes. And then you kind of run into one of their main heroes and fight. And that's kind of how it is, except that when you run into one of their main heroes, it's a player instead of just a you know, AI. And so it's really neat.
It's really cool. And just the concept and the gameplay. But like I said, unfortunately,
I'll probably never play it.
I'll never probably play it because it,
I'll let you know.
It is.
I'll let you know.
Like decapitation.
It's going to be,
you know,
it's,
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Very, it's, very graphic.
It's war graphic. Yeah. It's
so,
war.
Yes.
It's war. All right.
But, so Nintendo.
So Nintendo did kind of what they have been doing lately. And they
Nintendo.
They did a direct conference.
Conference. Yeah, Fire Emblem looked really cool.
Fire Emblem always looks cool.
And Xenoblade Chronicles looks pretty cool.
Right.
But other than that, I couldn't really get it.
Yeah, there were a lot of 3DS games. It seemed like the majority of the games that they really talked about were 3DS games.
Handheld, yeah.
Like the Federation Force and stuff like that.
Yeah, so there's like a Metroid Prime game, which is called Federation Force.
It's a multiplayer
Yeah, it's a multiplayer
shooting game.
It's the Halo of Nintendo.
It's done in more of a it's not like your typical Metroid Prime graphics.
It's more like
super deformed, you know, like Japanese super deformed anime, where they're like big and short and blocky and
most people thought it was like, yay.
So there's that, and then there's a new Zelda game for the 3DS, Triforce Heroes.
Now, Star Fox Zero
is for the Wii U.
Pretty cool.
So it's their new updated Star Fox game that's coming out, and it feels very much like Star Fox
64 version.
It's very familiar. I mean, if you played the Star Fox 64 version back in the day, then you've got a pretty good idea of what this new game is going to be about.
It's going to feel like. It really did feel like the same thing almost.
What's really neat, though, about the Star Fox game is that you can use the tablet controller as like a gun turret, where you literally can look around and you can hold the tablet and move it around and you can see what's on the screen of the tablet while you're still flying around on the main screen. So that's pretty cool how they incorporate the second screen like that.
But it still seems very
Nintendo-y
to me.
Well, yeah, it's very Nintendo-y, that's the thing, is that a lot of people... it's really come to the point where if you want to play Nintendo games, then you play Nintendo games. You know, if you want to play Mario, if you want to play Zelda, if you want to play Metroid, if you want to play, any of these Nintendo games, then, that's really what it is. You're not going to play anything else on a Wii U. You're just going to play Nintendo games. They talked about, yeah, like the Xenoblade Chronicles X, which is their JRPG that's coming out. You've got Yoshi's Woolly World, which is the Yoshi's platformer game.
Platformer.
The new Mario Tennis for the Wii U. But the
big thing that they focused a lot on was their Super Mario Maker.
Yeah.
So essentially, you can create your own Marvel or Mario levels.
Right.
For you and anyone else to play.
So that's pretty cool, so you can truly, and you can use stuff from any of the Mario games, from like the original Super Mario Brothers all the way up through, the latest one that just came out on the Wii U, the Mario Brothers game that just came out. So, it can be the assets from any of those games. If you want to make a Mario Brothers 3 level, then you can do that. If you want to make a Mario Brothers, new Mario Brothers on the Wii, you can make a level for that. So it's pretty cool. And then, of course, you can share them. So then that way people can... play whatever your games and stuff.
But overall, with the conference, their e-conference, I had a very... It was just meh.
Yeah, there wasn't anything like super... I agree. There wasn't anything like super exciting.
But I'm also not a huge Nintendo person either. I mean, I love Zelda and Mario and all those things. But like, I have a friend... who listens to the show as well, but he is really big into Nintendo, and he was excited about a lot of things that they announced.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting, like different perspectives.
Right.
My perspective is, well, one, I don't have a Wii U,
right.
So I'm not going to play any of these games. I do have a 3DS. So some of those things interest me, but overall, I was just like, I'm not looking forward. Like, none of those games like made me like, oh, I'm so excited, or that game looks so interesting, I want to know more about it. Unlike some other games, that especially games that we'll be talking about in a little
well,
bit.
Well, I think that, you know, because they didn't have Zelda at this E3.
Yeah,
and
was weird.
I think it's because, and we've kind of talked about this before, but I really do think that it's because they're going to hold on to it and develop
for the
it
next,
for the
they,
new
for the
new
next
system.
For the new one, but they did say that the Zelda will come to the Wii U.
Sure. Just like when Twilight Princess came out on the GameCube and the Wii U,
and the Wii, it was
cross-platform, plus cross-gen.
Right.
I think that that's what they're doing.
It'd
they're,
be the
it's
same
gonna
thing.
It's going to be cross-gen, and so they want to develop it more for the NX, and they did say that the NX they'll talk about more next year. So that'll probably be their big reveal. They'll probably reveal that the new Zelda game is going to be a launch title for their NX platform.
If it's
and
not,
it'll be,
they're dumb.
You know, yeah, everybody will be super exciting and stoked. And so I think that that's why, like, this E3 for Nintendo is just kind of like a holdover.
It's just like, hey,
just
we're
like,
here.
Hey, we're still here.
We're still here.
We're still making games. Just wait till next year. You'll be super excited.
Yeah,
you know?
Super excited.
But
so let's talk about the Microsoft
conference. You know,
so
there's
they had a pretty strong showing.
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job.
Yeah, I was really excited. There's one thing that excited me. I'm not really an Xbox guy. I have a 360, but I don't have a One, and the thing that was, I think, one of the game changers was the Elite controller they came out with.
Oh yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's pretty
cool.
That
controller is going to redefine what a good controller is. And I think that it's going to force the other, you know, like Nintendo and Sony to come out with something similar for them. Because one thing that's really awesome is, since it's a Microsoft product, it's completely Windows 10 compatible.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, for all the PC gamers out there who love to use a controller, boom, there you go. It's going to be 100% compatible with Windows 10.
Right.
All they have to
and
do is
Steam.
Plug it in, plug and play, good to go.
Yep.
They don't have to think about anything. They don't have to worry about third-party programs. They don't have to do anything like that. Plus, it has everything that you would want as an elite gamer, with all the additional possibilities for button settings, extra buttons.
Yes, completely customizable.
Swappable controls.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is the controller that I have been wanting.
Well, the only
problem
is that it costs $150.
Thing is for elite gamers,
that's
is an affordable price.
Well, and see,
they spend more than that on headphones.
Sure.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, it is definitely for the hardcore market, but because it is aimed at the hardcore market, that's why I don't really think that, like, any of the other developers are really going to worry too much about the fact that they came out with this Elite controller. I mean, it's really cool and it does really amazing things, but it is really for a very specific market.
You do make a good point.
Let's get our opinions on the whole announcement of backwards compatible.
It's
amazing.
It's software emulated backwards.
It's an emulation, but it's still even developed one. And said, hey, now you can play your entire 360 library on your Xbox One. I mean, that really is pretty awesome.
It is. Because
it is pretty cool. But do you feel it's kind of like we need to do something to catch up with Sony?
Well, I mean, let's look at Xbox One and then look at the Japanese and the Chinese markets for Xbox One. Both of those markets are super small and dwindling, where
Sony
is still growing.
Sony users.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think they need to find something that entices people to purchase their main console unit.
And that's really what I'm saying is, like, yes, it's really cool, and that's awesome for all the Xbox One owners out there that have a big collection of Xbox 360 stuff, but in my mind, it's just like, that's cool,
was it too little too late?
Was it maybe?
But like Sony came out and announced like, no, we're not planning on doing anything like that.
No, they have all in the my mind. It's now, like
they have their streaming service.
Yeah, they have their streaming.
But they don't like need to either.
No,
it's
they
like,
don't.
It's they're already have a strong foothold on the lead of you know game consoles sold and.
I think that the backwards compatibility announcement, it's really good for people that have been kind of waiting to adopt the and move up, because now kids can say, "Mom, Dad, now that if you buy me an Xbox One, I can still play all of these games that you've purchased for me over the past 5 years." And so I don't lose any of the money that you've invested in all of these games.
It is
so
a really good
sell. Parents are going to be like, "Oh, that's cool." Yeah. So so even if I buy you a brand new system, I don't necessarily have to buy you a ton of new games because you can play these.
Yeah.
Now they you know, it's not going to be instantly the entire library right away.
So 100 games here,
yeah,
100
and most
games
of the,
there.
And because it's, you know, it is all like Microsoft first party stuff.
Right.
That's going to be initially available. But they did say that any developer that wants any game to be backwards compatible, all they have to say is, "We want our game to be backwards compatible," and Microsoft will just do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but
you know,
it's going to be glitchy for a while until they figure everything out. Just like any emulator ever created.
Yeah.
The initial reviews though have said that it works pretty well.
Oh yeah, and most, I mean, I agree. Most emulators do. There's no issues there, but there's always going to be that one game that everybody gets really excited for, only for it to have a glitch that gives it bad press.
Right.
You know, it's going to happen. Let's see how they handle the bad press based off of the fanboys that like to troll.
Yeah. So
Halo 5.
Yeah. The new Halo 5 Guardians
looks really, really good. I love the Halo game, and I really like the concept of this one where there's two separate teams that you can play,
right?
And then one's hunting. There's a group of Spartans hunting down
Master Chief, right.
And you're like, why?
Because they're like, is he a traitor? Because
The
way that the trailer is all like, you know, shows the Master Chief went off to be with the Covenant, and they're like, what the heck? So they're like trying to chase him down, try to figure out why, you know, he's like enemy number one now. Why? What's going on?
Why? It's really interesting.
So,
But the gameplay looked really good. The graphics looked great, of course, and the storyline looks.
Yeah.
It sounds really cool.
And
so
it looks like it's 4-player co-op.
Yep.
You know, where you'll be able to jump in and play, you know, one of the different characters, and at least that's the way
it seems.
But,
yeah.
You know, we'll get, you know, that's just the initial big announcement. So you know, we'll get more details as it goes on. There's
initially it looks good.
This month's Game Informer is all about the Halo 5. You'll be able to get a lot of information there.
But the next game I was kind of sad was an Xbox exclusive, because it looks really cool. It was ReCore.
It kind of reminds me of Star Wars almost.
I really liked it. Yeah, I mean, it was.
It looked interesting.
Yeah, just the concept that, you know, there's
of
these,
like, transferring cores to different machines.
Right. So it was, you know, it was.
She was like a scavenger. Or
yeah,
something like
I
that.
Just the style. I really liked the style of the game.
Yeah, it looked good.
You know, and it wasn't like, you know, hyper photorealistic. It was more on like kind of like the animated side.
It's a game
design. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the way that the trailer made it look like is that, you know, she has this robot, you know, that had its own little core, and it looked like each of the other robots that were attacking had their own cores.
And she absorbed it and made a larger core.
Right. She was able to
then
like
make a larger
transfer
robot.
It. Yeah, she was like able to transfer the core
next
from
thing
the
you know,
smaller
it's Pacific Rim.
Well, and you know, and like the final screen splash showed her with like a bunch of different robots
yeah,
around.
Like a bunch
and,
of
you know,
little minions.
So it's almost like you probably
are going to collect them, or you'll go through them.
Right.
We'll see.
Like some kind of like a
it perked my interest.
Yeah, just the, but you know that's not really. It was just a trailer. It wasn't gameplay.
Right.
Exactly.
So, you know.
So we don't know.
We're just
what
trying to grab
like.
What we can.
And they didn't. You know, they didn't say. You know, coming or you know. So it's like they just kind of say, hey, this is a teaser trailer for this new IP
something
that we're developing,
coming.
And yeah. You know, it's coming soon.
Yeah, the Fable Legends. They announced.
Yeah.
Looks kind of cool. It's like it's kind of like Fable, but it's multiplayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what it is essentially it's kind of like a
asymmetrical.
Because we talked about the Sword Coast Legends the other show, and it's a similar type of feel where there's going to be four people versus one.
Right.
Where there's going to be the dungeon master that creates the area that the four heroes will go through,
right.
Basically, and be interactive, like if they could throw a monster here and throw a monster there. But it looks fun.
Yeah.
So, and then they had a Dark Souls 3 trailer.
Dark Souls 3.
I mean,
people really like that series. So,
really popular game. They had
the new Tomb Raider. This one's the prequel one.
Yes.
Or is this,
it's called The Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So it's a sequel to the previous prequel game. Does that make sense?
Well, it's kind of like, it's kind of like a truly an origin story, I believe.
I thought it was, is it a sequel to the latest?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Because, like, she's getting more into, like,
actually
becoming
exploring.
A Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
I
so it's the sequel of the prequel.
Got it. Okay.
Exactly. That's essentially
what
it was.
Interesting
the sequel to the prequel.
Is Square Enix has just done an amazing job at making these games.
Yeah. Yeah. The latest Tomb Raider games are really good. Graphically
they sold really well.
It's the Luminous engine that Square Enix made. It's making waves. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that the same engine that they used for the Deus Ex games?
The Deus Ex and the Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's that engine.
I mean, it's going to be, and it's an Xbox exclusive.
Right.
Yes.
So
well,
those.
It's a timed.
It's timed exclusive.
So it'll be on the Xbox initially for a few months, and then it'll come to
and then
the PlayStation
come to
later.
Else.
Yeah.
But then they also announced Gears of War 4.
Yeah, the new Gears of War.
Yeah. Which is a very popular franchise.
Big, huge series
Xbox.
For the Microsoft. So, you know, everybody was kind of waiting for it. Yeah, everybody was kind of waiting for it.
I played those ones, and they're lots of fun.
So that, they had the big gameplay trailer for that.
Here's a question for you. How many of you were entranced by the HoloLens Minecraft?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
You're just like...
At
you
first, I was
sure
like,
what
I was
you
like
were
wait, and the reason why it like threw me off is that I finally realized, the camera had the 3D hardware,
correct?
On, like
so it
attached
could
onto it, so
seeing.
That it could see the hologram, and I was like,
But then you would get the cutscene where he's just looking at a
table. A flat table.
And
but it was
doing
pretty awesome.
Things, and everybody's like, what's going on? But then you have, you know, what's going on. But what I liked about it is that it was interactive. Like, somebody was actually
playing
Minecraft. And he was
holograph stuff.
Yeah, he was affecting the world.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, she was like, where am I going? He's like, there's this and this and this.
Yeah,
I'll do this.
He could look down and you know, pull up the map and look at the underworlds. Like, you need to, you know... go down and
it was really neat to see, you know. Yes, E3 has a section that is video games, which we're talking about, but it also has the technology aspect of all the new technology, and this is kind of where this fits. Is while we saw it used for gaming, there's so many applications for that.
Right. Yeah,
think
real
about
world
all,
applications.
Think about all the,
yeah.
you know, medical, architectural,
engineering, architecture,
all
yeah.
of these
even,
things.
Even NASA is working with Microsoft to take advantage of this HoloLens technology, where you could incorporate the HoloLens technology into like the Mars rover and
right.
put the Mars rover on Mars, and then somebody on Earth could put a helmet on and basically interact in a holographic fashion with the things that the robot is looking at on
yeah.
Mars. You know,
that'd be so cool.
And that's an yeah, that's I mean just some of the stuff is really neat that they
yeah.
can really take advantage
and what's
of.
What's nice is all you need is the HoloLens and Windows 10.
Right.
And you're good to go.
Right.
Boom. So let's jump into Sony.
Yeah, so Sony typically they get to be last.
And they were the strongest conference too.
You know, if you know what did we say? If EA is the 800-pound gorilla, Sony is the father of the 800-pound gorilla.
well, they've been doing really well lately. So
yeah,
Sony is
the big kid on the block, and you give space and respect to the big kid on the block.
That's right. But they opened their conference with something that people have been wanting for a long
yes!
time. The Last Guardian.
Oh my gosh.
Looked like they showed actual gameplay.
Yeah, it was actual gameplay.
Actual gameplay, and it was
amazing.
Beautiful.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about that game. And yes, it's been in like it's been lost in development for
Well,
ever.
Isn't this kind of like it's a combination of like Ico
and
Colossus.
And Shadows
well,
Colossus.
Yeah, Shadows
it's
of the Colossus,
same
Ico and Prince of Persia, I was
Yeah,
thinking.
Well, it's the same developers that did Ico and Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, and so it definitely has that feel.
So it has that same feel to it, right. And so it's
yeah.
it's you know, it's a puzzle based you know, you
yeah,
gotta
kind of figure out
you know, figure out how to get from point A to point B in the environment and it's just yeah, I mean the way that the game is all about this little boy that finds this mythical creature who is like humongous.
Oh, it's
yeah,
like a giant cat thing.
Yeah, it's like a cat.
The dog, eagle,
dragon,
cat,
chicken, bird.
But it looks amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all
oh,
of the feathers
great.
That would. Yeah.
Oh, I love that
the art
fact
style.
That
the art
with
style
the really new cool. consoles, you can get what we used to be used to as the cutscene as actual gameplay.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it looks. Speaking about cutscenes going into gameplay, the next game is actually the game that I was most excited about and interested me more than anything else was Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, yeah,
it looks so
I know,
cool.
Doesn't it? It's really neat.
Well, and they went straight from the cutscene
into the
gameplay.
Right.
And you couldn't even tell
right,
the difference.
Right.
And it was so good. I just love the post-apocalyptic feel
right.
where they're melding nature with machines mm-hmm. and it's just super cool and good for them having a, you know, a good strong female lead character
yeah.
to kind of like you know, and so people will be stoked about that. But
right.
the concept, the look, the feel
yeah.
Like it made me want to buy
yeah.
it. Tear.
Yeah,
I know.
So
yeah,
it's being developed by Guerrilla Games,
Guerrilla,
who
yeah,
has
yeah.
done the Killzone series up to this point.
All the Killzone
and
games.
So we know, you know, so the Killzone games have been very, especially the latest one, Shadow Zone. So bad, I can't remember.
But all the Killzone
but,
games are
yeah,
very successful and well done.
Very graphically amazing games. So they wanted to do something different. They wanted to create
a new
IP. And so it's an open world action RPG.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Monster Hunter.
Okay, yeah. So you got that.
You know, where you kind of fight the big creatures and take them down with unique weapons and stuff.
It kind of reminded me a lot of, did you guys ever play, there's a game called, oh gosh, now I can't remember what it's called. I want to say, is it Enchanted? No, that's not it.
No. Describe it.
Yeah. It's basically like a post-apocalyptic where you play like the name of the character is Monkey, and he's like this big acrobatic dude that like fights the robots and
you lost me.
Yeah,
it was
a PlayStation 3 title.
Listeners, if you know what game John is talking about,
let us
know.
It was, gosh, I own it. I can run to the next room and grab it. But anyway, just the post-apocalyptic where, like, humanity has pretty much kind of died off. Nature's reclaimed the world. And now it's basically mankind has gotten smacked back to the Stone Age. And yet...
But yet they still incorporate
technology,
like technology with,
and all of the animals
archaic
are
archaic stuff.
And all of the animals aren't like biological; they're more they're more bionic
because
and more cybers.
You saw birds and you saw fish, and you can only assume that there are still mammals out there because they're wearing furs and pelts.
That's true.
So. They're just rare, but it seems like the dominant life form, even more dominant than humans, are these animal robots.
And somehow they're able to breed and propagate
or produce somehow or make each other.
Just the overall style of the game and just the gameplay itself looked really fun.
Looks super fun.
So that's definitely one I'm going to be keeping my eyes on.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to be out for a few years, but because they just announced that they're working on it. So it's going to be one of those
2017 probably.
Maybe, you know, 16 if we're really lucky. I doubt it, though.
If they're further along than they're leading up.
Yeah, so Sony, they announced that there's like a new Hitman game that they're working
in. Hitman game.
That's the Square Enix
Street Fighter 5. Which I'm excited about because I've always been
Street Fighter games,
a big Street Fighter fan. I like Street Fighter more than I like Mortal Kombat, I always have.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since Mortal Kombat's more about like being unnecessarily gory,
fatality,
and Street Fighter is more about the fighting
and the
gameplay, in my opinion. But Street Fighter 5 is a PlayStation 4 and PC only.
PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Can't get it,
which I think is
can't
really
get it on the Xbox, which is really interesting. And a lot of people are like, "Huh?" What?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of competitors are thrown off by that because now it's like. Well, they talked about if they're going to be allowed to use the Xbox controllers to compete now, or is everyone going to be PlayStation controllers now?
Well, the thing is actually the competitors, they use their tabletop controllers.
Right.
They use the arcade controllers.
The arcade sticks.
Yeah, and I can actually, oddly enough, I can speak on that a little bit because when SLC Anime met one week in the same location, the fighting team in Salt Lake City came together to practice their Street Fighter 4. And so it was really cool to watch them all like have these giant boxes under their arms walking around, and then they would sit down and plug it in via USB and start playing.
Huh.
Tap, tap, tap. It's just like they were playing the arcades.
Right, right.
And it was pretty intense where they all had, like, their unique controllers. It reminded me of the movie Hackers where everybody had their laptops all decked out,
laptops.
You know? And I was like, wow, it's just like Hackers, but they all have their USB controllers for their fighting games. So it's pretty cool.
So
I figured they'll just use those.
Yeah. So we saw some more gameplay and footage of No Man's Sky.
Oh my gosh, this game.
This
I'm so excited about this game. Seriously.
People are going to become homeless because of this game.
I'm just like, oh my gosh.
They're
so going to
get lost. They're going to get lost in the game and never come out.
So yeah. No Man's Sky is essentially like a pure exploration game where you just... You fly from one planet to the next to just kind of discover what's there and just walk around and see what there is to
there's
see.
There's combat and stuff, but
there's
interaction with other
players. There's like, well, that's the thing though, is that even though it's like massive player, you're rarely going to run into another player because everybody starts on their own unique planet, and there's like a bazillion planets in this game because
It will be. It's literally like impossible to discover everything.
Right, and so
even with all the people playing,
and so like every planet is completely procedurally created,
generated.
So everything's totally random. Every planet you go to is completely new and different. And yeah, you just fly around. You gather resources.
I always think to myself, how does it remember what that planet's like? You know. Because
that's coding, the technology, and if
somebody else goes to the planet that you discovered, is it the same way it was when you discovered it?
Yes.
Exactly. Like, isn't that mind blowing?
I know.
It is.
The technology behind it is amazing.
Because people can go to planet you discovered, and it will say planet discovered by whatever your alias is, and then it will and you can name the animals and stuff like that too.
Well, you discover them and you get credit for being the first person to discover it. So you find all these discoveries and then you upload the discoveries to the mainframe. And so that's how you get credit for discovering all of these things. But there's also like a gathering and crafting aspect to the game as well, because in order to improve your ship, to be able to get to further planets, you have to gather and craft and improve your ship and, you know, make it bigger and better and buy a bigger ship and improve that one. And then you buy a bigger ship and improve that one. And the further you can go, the better the resources are but then there's this whole like police, called the Sentinels, which are essentially there to stop you from messing with the environment. So it's kind of like if you create too much, if you go in and if you like mine too much in an area, the Sentinels are going to come and try to stop you. And that's where the combat comes in. But then the more Sentinels you'll kill, the more they come. And so, you know, eventually you can't just,
you gotta
run away. And so it's really not – the point of the game is not the combat, but it's just an aspect of it. But, yeah, just the style, the art style, it's just so amazingly beautiful.
It's pretty cool.
And, yeah, I'm just super excited. That's one of my favorites.
Well, let's hit on a couple more things. John has to leave to work real soon. So, but one of the – probably the biggest announcement of E3 – was the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yes.
Oh, man, I almost cried when I saw the trailer. I was at work watching it on my phone in the break room, and people are like, what are you watching? I'm like, nothing. Nothing. I'm just so happy. What's funny is I then go into my office, my desk, and I look up Square Enix on the stock market because it's on my watch list.
Oh,
and
sure.
And sure enough, shortly after
shortly after they announced
the Final Fantasy VII remake, their stock went up $4 in less than a day.
That's awesome.
It was just like, that's boom! Awesome. It was huge. Considering they just hover at the same spot all the time, to see it just spike and then come back.
And the thing is that they're not just simply reskinning Final Fantasy
VII.
No,
they're going to remake
They're going to remake it, which means it's not going to be the same game.
It's the same. It's different storyline.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's not always going to be the same.
It's the same idea.
World.
It's the same world. It's the same characters. It's the same outline. But they're going to make it in a way that it'll be new for you.
Right.
But then you could relive still the joys.
Some of the great moments.
Some of the great moments, like Cloud cross-dressing, you know?
Yeah,
no,
that's
seriously,
a great moment.
No,
woo!
If you remember the game, there's like an entire section
of
like 4 hours of gameplay where you are cross-dressed, you know, or... You know, and so there's, and so they announced that they're like, yes, we're going to do the cross-dressing stuff. We're going to do the chocobo breeding. We're going to be doing all the, you know, all the summons and everything that everyone remembers.
Right.
And we're going to make,
all
we're going to make,
summons are going to look,
yeah, we're going to make
so
the
good.
Golden, you know, saucer
right.
just an entire game to itself.
Sure, right.
You know, so it's like people will lose themselves in this game when it comes out.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's cool because they're bringing this iconic thing to a new generation of people,
right.
too.
Well, and what's nice is if they announced it just in time that by the time it's their 20th year anniversary of Final Fantasy VII, which is in 2 years,
yeah.
in 2017,
game's going
to
come out.
Probably going to come out.
And in the meantime, they did say that they are going to port over the PC remaster of the original Final Fantasy VII to the PS4, coming in October, I think.
Right, so if you wanted to
so
play
you,
the original,
so you
but
can,
you never could.
Right, so you'll be able to play the original that had been remastered for the PC back
in
HD, 2011.
Yeah, they kind of made an HD version.
Yeah, they like remastered.
I think it was in 12.
So yeah, it was
yeah, 11 or 12.
But they are going to port that over
to
the PS4.
It was
probably like the most everybody
else.
Have you guys
seen that little like mini little movie about the British guy who just goes on a slap crazy, like he starts just slapping everybody?
No.
Oh, I can't remember. It's called The Slap. And and so look it up. It's really funny where
guy
you know the kid,
now.
Yeah, he just gets and everybody's coming out and he's just slapping everybody and it's just comical, but they put the Final Fantasy VII remake as his head and had all the other characters in that skit with the other developers. And as the other developers would go up to the Final Fantasy VII remake, it would slap them away.
Oh,
and it was just funny because in a way that's how a lot of people felt about the game announcements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hit one more thing. Of course the, Sony did do Battlefront as well.
Yeah, they
but,
had their own
they had
presentation.
They had a different map.
Right. Survival mode.
Let's go to the last thing of that we'll cover is, of course, and it was smart, Sony's very last thing that they did was Uncharted 4.
Yes.
And they had a huge gameplay
Ooh.
Video of it.
Even the mud looks good.
I mean,
it's just so amazing.
Well, just the series is one of the best game series I've ever played and enjoyed.
And it's because of the story. It's not necessarily because of the gameplay.
It's not because of the gameplay.
It's because of the story.
The voice acting,
the acting
and everything. It's fantastic.
You actually like care about the characters. And
yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting because they're introducing a new character, which is Nathan's older brother.
Right. Yeah.
So that would be interesting.
That would be pretty cool.
And like, what happened with
Elena?
You know, Elena getting married.
I know a lot of people are like,
down.
Where's Elena?
What's going on?
Yeah.
So hopefully she's still alive.
So something had to. I mean, okay, obviously
something
had
to pull him out of retirement.
Well, it had to, you know, like his brother. I'm sure had a lot to
probably.
Do with it. But yeah, so does that mean that like Elena's like, see ya? Now that he's back in the game, or
I was so happy when they finally got together.
Yeah,
it's like yay, happiness,
yeah.
And then now I don't know what's going on.
Right, I mean the gameplay just looked
it's
gonna
be
crazy.
The whole environment's destructible.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The really cool thing about the gameplay that they showed is that you're in a car and you're going down this route. Down to, but the cool thing is, if you noticed,
there's no set way to get there.
there's no set way to go. Yeah. That you can go like all these different ways. And so
I was noticing that. I was like, that is cool.
It's cool.
It's not like, you know, there's only one road, you know.
And, yeah.
And you're just on this road. And it's like,
it's an open world.
You can turn here, turn there. It's not an open world.
Still, and they talked about that.
It's still linear.
It's a flexible linear, that they're saying.
Yeah.
Because they wanted people to continue on the storyline and not get distracted, because that's what Uncharted's all about. Right. It's about the story.
And they did show some of that in their previous gameplay video, where he was on the map, just trying to get around the guys, trying to get from point A to point B, and there were like multiple different ways that you could get through.
So in that way, it's flexible. Right. You have different options.
You still have to get from point A to point B. There's just different ways to get there now, instead of just a single way.
I don't have a PS4 yet.
Not yet.
And I need one.
Well, it's not going to be out for like two more years.
I know, but if nothing else, for Uncharted 4 and for Horizon.
There you go.
And Battlefront.
Last Guardian. Yep.
And everything.
Etc. No Man's
Sky. Oh, we didn't even talk about Dreams. Oh my gosh.
We ran out of time.
Yeah, I know.
We don't even have time for trivia.
No. I mean, all we really did is we just kind of went through a list. We barely even really talked about anything. We just kind of said.
But, okay. So, your number one game of E3?
Battlefront. I think, yeah, I would have to say Battlefront.
Like game that's coming out.
Like the one you're looking forward to play the most. How about that?
Well, I'm not going to say Final Fantasy because it's not out yet. But the one that I'm actually interested in playing the most is either For Honor, which we talked about, or Fallout 4. Those are the two I'm excited for. I figure the Final Fantasy is a given.
I gotta stick with Battlefront.
Battlefront and Horizon.
Yeah, Horizon looks really cool. But, you know, the thing with Horizon is that it's just so early in development. It looks really good,
I do have to give the trailer of E3 is Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, yeah, the Fallen Empire trailer.
Hands down,
yeah, just awesome.
Best trailer of the show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, John needs to go to work, so let's get out of here. Thank you. 2 years.
2 years.
2 years of the Closet Geek.
So thank you, everyone that has been a supporter. I know there are some listeners out there that have been here from the beginning. Thank you so much. And thank you for your support.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
Even if we don't.
Yeah, well some I know you, a couple some of them. Some of you we know, but the ones we don't, let us know who you are. We'd love to find out who our long-term listeners are.
Drop us a line on Facebook or email us at theclosetgeekpod@gmail.com. But you can just drop a line on Facebook, say, hey, guys, thank you for 2 years of awesomeness, because that's what it's been.
That's what we do.
2 years of
awesomeness.
We bring the awesomeness. So... I know there are a couple of you out there that have longtime listeners. Let's get some interaction. Let's talk about what was your favorite moment of the Closet Geek in the last 2 years. There you go.
Wow.
I know. That's a lot.
I can't even remember what we did last week.
That's a lot of geek. That's why we have notes.
That's too much. It's too much geek. But thank you, guys. 2 years. We plan on keeping going, and we're just going to keep on going. Because this is awesome. We love it. We love you. And we love all things geeky. And we are the Four Horsemen of Geek, minus Ryan. We're sad that he couldn't join us, but life happens. But we're the Four Horsemen of Geek, reminding you to wave your geek flag proudly. And I will play this now. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.